guys. Welcome to the Optimist Podcast. I'm here with Jake Leslie and Kath Taylor. And interesting times we're in. So we're just going to go through some discussion around a potential return to sport in community sports. And I'll get your guys' thoughts and opinions, especially around different things that you've heard and what you might see as problems. And go for it. What do you guys reckon, Jake?
I thought Kath was going to start because she works in professional sport.
But we're talking about community and semi-pro.
I think, and everything's a what if at the moment. I don't know is probably going to get said a lot because I just don't know what's going to happen. We don't have any clear guidelines yet in terms of what date we're allowed to start training, how training looks, and how social distancing is going to play a part in training, especially like contact sport.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jake said, and I think the interesting thing that it comes into here is, particularly for us here in Australia, we're talking about AFL and rugby union predominantly with our groups and schools that we cover, and to some extent soccer, but from where they were in pre-season, you know, we were right at that full intensity of pre-season. They were really ramping up to go. The league was about to start in 2 or 3 weeks. We were into that final stage of high-level competitive pre-season matches were really kicking off. Training had reached that high intensity and it suddenly stopped. And it will be really interesting and a big challenge for coaches, S&C coaches, players and all the support staff involved to be able to support everyone getting back to how they want to play and at what intensity.
So I won't go into details around what the government might be releasing in terms of restrictions. I know that the National Cabinet will meet on May 11th, and there may be some major announcements from the government today regarding community sport, regardless of, you know, scenario A, B, C, D. Let's just go into a bit more detail around what you guys see athletes struggling with and what are going to be the most prevalent injuries that we see. And then towards the end, we'll go through how do we, what do we recommend to athletes who have been through maybe call it a 6 week do nothing period. What do we see being the biggest issues, do you guys reckon?
I think from a mindset perspective, a lot of people shut off and went, oh, well, sport's done for the year. So went into their shell, didn't have access to anything, just threw the towel in. What I see is people now going, oh, wow, okay, I'm going to go for a run every day. I'm going to do this every day. So like a big fatigue level is going to hit. And then you're going to go into some training with more fatigue. So it's just like, it's like a building block that stacks on top of each other. Where do you get that deload week and freshen up? Like, it's not going to happen. And that's going to lead to huge injuries like underperformance. Like, I just think everyone's going to end up sore and then play through soreness. So that's what I see.
Yeah, I think soreness will probably be one of the better outcomes. I've got really serious concerns because, yeah, we all like working in sport because it's a sports injuries. But for the most part, we like being able to get people on the field and keep them on the field to enable them to participate, but also to enable our teams to get the best possible results. And that's going to be the biggest challenge this year, not just because they've had time away from training, but virtually all of us haven't had access to a gym in this time. So not only is it that lack of actual training to the level of that sport, the change of direction, the contact, the contested work, pushing yourself more than you would when it's just you going through setting targets, but actually people's strength and capabilities is going to have reduced, and that leads in then to endurance, it leads into power losses, it leads into people being more at risk, being more fatigued sooner, putting themselves into contact situations sooner, contests becoming scrappier in particularly those fatigue end stages of matches. And we're probably looking at seasons being shorter this year if they happen. So what would have been, you might have missed 6 or 8 weeks with a moderate injury, that might end up being you miss the entire season from it. And that's really what we want to be able to talk to people about and get them, if they haven't already read Jake's amazing blog post this week. That's
that was really good, mate.
Really, really good, really thorough. It's on our website, it's on our social media, it's linked to, there'll be a link to it from, I'm sure, the show notes here.
Yeah.
But it's really imperative that people put themselves into the best possible situation and don't just rush back in, regardless of what level they're playing at, because this is going to be an issue that we see across a multitude of community sport levels and different ages.
So what are some of the things, and I'll direct this question to you, Jake, what are some of the things that we need to be telling coaches and maybe even just committee members of, say, under 14s, under 16s, under 18s, what do the athletes need to be doing now, given we may have a quick return to play and be playing competitive games in 6 to 8 weeks?
And that's a great question. Like, for that age, I think it's a long-term vision. It's not, let's just think about, like, personally, I just don't think that lower level or that lower age sport will come back. I had a conversation talking about thirds football. I was like, they won't play thirds football. You don't have the volunteers to, or the people to play it. That junior sport, I think if kids haven't been working on their skills, I think that's probably a bit of an issue. And I think that, like, I just don't think that sport should come back if that's going to be too high of a risk. Like, imagine a kid at 16 doing an ACL because they've done nothing and then they went straight into some contact, 12 months out of the game, 2 years until you're back to some sort of normal level, like, that kid might not ever play sport again. So right now, I think the big thing is sprinting. I put a post up the other day, go and run up a hill. Your hamstrings will love you for it. Go and kick a ball or do something with a mate and pick up your skills. So your skills are back. So you've got, like, that's incidental exercise. You go and kick a football around, you end up sore. If you only do that a couple of, like, your goal should be able to train and do something every single day. It shouldn't be three big sessions and I can't move in between each three. It should be do a little bit, do a little bit, do a little bit. Next week we'll do a little bit more. I think coaches will go, oh, we need to do a 2-hour session. Great. Everyone's tired and sore. You want to see them on Thursday. They're still going to be sore. You're not going to get the value out of it. You're going to get high risk or high injuries. So tendons, shoulders, knees, ankles, because everyone's just sore. So I think a mindset of doing, and I like the phrase, do one set of 8. If you're not sore the next day, great. Do one set of 10. If you're not sore, keep doing a little bit more. So I think, yeah, sprinting, jumping, landing, kicking a ball around, like, incidental play for kids is really important. For older athletes, and, like, this is looking at anyone over 18, 19, 20, even the professionals, like, have you got access to get stronger? Because right now we need to get strong. It's going to take 6 weeks of a proper program before you're strong. That's not even looking at high, like, power and power endurance and all that sort of stuff. So it just depends what you've done. If you've done nothing, I pray for you. If you've done a little bit, need to do a little bit more. If you've done lots, you probably haven't done it the intensity that needs to be done to perform at what you would have performed at 6-8 weeks ago.
So it sounds like you've got a lot of concerns around this rapid potential return to sport.
Yes and no. I have concerns for people that are not going to, or not taking it seriously enough, that they think, oh, it'll be fine, I'll get fit during a match. Like, yeah, that's true in some part, but in training, like, your last couple of training should be at 80% of match or game day load and intensity. I honestly don't see enough people building up to that smart. Some will break, some won't break. That's the game you play, I guess.
So the message to athletes is start doing something now, in particular plyometrics, sprinting, and then for adults, strength-based programs.
Plus sprinting, plus plyometrics. And that's the thing, like, the best time to start was yesterday, the second best time is today.
Yeah, cool. So, Kath, what do you reckon the message should be to coaches? I know Jake touched on it about not rushing into a 2-hour session, but from an injury prevention perspective, what do we need to let the coaching staff know?
Well, I actually think it's a really good opportunity. So if coaches have got the ability to be able to have an S&C coach working with them, let them plan significant amounts of the session, and the coaches start to build in the skill work, just especially for that first 3 weeks back, if possible. That would be incredible, because we know that there's likely to be reversals of the restrictions. So it's unlikely that everyone's going to be able to go back and train as a whole team together. So you can potentially get that increased duration of a session, rather than having to limit the amount of time that they're doing. They just limit the amount of time with that coach. They might be able to do more of their injury prevention stuff. They might be able to do some of the sprint work, some of the fitness, some of the actual strengthening, especially on the basis of they might not have that exposure to it before if they've taken up the sport quite recently, might have done nothing and have been on holiday over the whole of summer thinking that they'd use the pre-season to get back into it. So now's actually a really good opportunity to make that relationship even stronger with their S&C coach. And I know a lot of the clubs we work with, the coaches have been sending programs out. I'm sure the adherence to that has been very variable across the board. Some of them have been great. Some of them will have done some strength work. Some of them probably haven't done change of direction. And, you know, again, another post that Jake put out was have someone chase you. Like, actually do that change of direction work, because that's a key part of what happens when we're going in. It's one thing going out and going for a run around the town or around the river. It's quite another thing when you're actually getting into that unpredicted change of direction, let alone by the time you're adding ball skill work in as well.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. What injuries do you guys think we will see?
Concussions.
Concussions, necks, hamstring, tendons, Achilles.
Groins.
Knees. Anything tendon. We'll see a good host of injuries, because people are fragile. Like, lots of people have taken up running, and people don't run well. So I see them going back to sport, taking those bad habits, being very fragile, haven't had to make a lot of decisions on the fly because they're working from home. You take them out into that sporting situation and the brain is just not going to respond as quick as they would have done 8 weeks ago when they were used to it. So that feedback loop is gone, I believe. Like, it's slowed right down. That's why you'll see a lot of concussions, because they won't be able to respond as quick. They'll be under a heap of fatigue. Bang.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, concussions, I think.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a kid will miss minimum 2-3 weeks, is it?
Yeah.
With a concussion. You're going to play 6 games at APS level. One concussion probably is going to...
It's done for the season.
Are you going
to... And some of the schools don't have enough numbers to actually be able to put a squad out if they lose 3 or 4 players for 3 weeks. 3 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
And that's if their symptoms settle straight away.
Yeah. So... And then they're going to hide, like, players are going to hide stuff. Like, I know some of the boys are like, I'll just play through it. Okay, you're closer to 30 now. That's not how it works, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anything from upper levels that you think we could incorporate down in community sports, Kath?
I think the flexibility is in that higher levels, I mean, that professional level of sport. There's actually a higher level of enforcement's the wrong word, there's a higher level of accountability across athletes. I think they take a lot more responsibility for being able to maintain base levels, keep on top of what they've been doing. Even when players have been on reduced hours, they still have very structured programs for the most part, and they've got a big, big team at their disposal, being able to put things together, who are continually meeting and planning. And unfortunately, the same thing doesn't have that ability to happen at community level, where they're mostly volunteers running the show. You know, to actually have that ability where people have got other jobs that they may have been struggling, they may have lost work hours, they're probably homeschooling their kids. Actually being able to account for all that leading back into it, there's still going to be a lot of disruption leading back into any sort of pre-season now for everyone running the sports at those levels.
Yeah, wow. So hopefully Optimus can assist with those areas, and given that physio is an essential service and we're still open, we can help prescribe programs, we can potentially help mitigate some of those injury risks. So yeah, it'll be interesting, fascinating. Let's see where we go.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge. I'd like us to be able to help people with that, and I'd like us to not get the actual numbers in clinic injured. I would love to see not as high injury rates, but we know a lot of the data shows us injuries happen in the pre-season and the earlier part of the season. And unfortunately, we're now going through a second pre-season for most of these sports.
Yeah, cool. Thanks very much for your thoughts, guys. I'm sure we will chat again soon, and we'll see how everything plays out. Appreciate your time.